We're going to go ahead and begin this evening. Take your Bibles, if you would, 1 Kings chapter 21, and we'll begin reading this evening in verse number 1 of 1 Kings chapter 21. And I guess since we're not together, and so I know that you're not standing, I can give you a little background before we read the text, and so we won't be, I won't keep you standing long this evening, unless you stand at home for the reading of the Word of God, which is okay. A little weird, but that's okay too. Israel has just gone to war with Syria a couple of different times, and the Bible says in verse 29, in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day, and the Israelites were enjoying victory, and God had given them victory. And then it says that Ahab spared Ben-Hadad. And verse 42 of 1 Kings chapter 20 says, and he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house very heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. And then we come to our text this evening in 1 Kings 21, and it says, and it came to pass after these things, those things that we just mentioned, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house very displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken unto him. Poor Ahab. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Poor, pouting Ahab. What a sad, sad example of a king he is. And we just see again and again Ahab's failure in leading the people of God, failure in following God. And we're getting ready to see God's judgment carried out on those that refuse to follow God's leading. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time together this evening. We thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for the heritage that we've been given, not just as independent Baptists, but as Christians, those men and women throughout history and recorded in Scripture that that stood and stood for your word, stood for the things of God. We thank you for that. Be with these few moments together. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, we come to the story and the account of Naboth's vineyard, and the title that I've given to this message tonight is No Sale. No Sale. A mother had just brought her newborn triplets home from the hospital, and her older boy, a four-year-old, took his first doubtful look at the new babies and said, we probably better go out in front of Walmart. He said, we probably better get out in front of Walmart right away. He says, these are going to be a lot harder to get rid of than kittens. He was trying to sell his new brothers and sisters. We know that in our lives as believers, in the world in which we live, that we face choices every day that could affect us for the rest of our lives. And we know some choices may not seem that big and may seem trivial on the surface. Some decisions are more serious and can change our lives in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. And we make spiritual decisions every day, and these are perhaps the most important of all. The most important spiritual decision that we ever make is receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you're not saved today, I would encourage you to make that decision today. And we'd love to be able to help you and lead you to that and direct you in God's Word of how you can be saved today. And we'd love to be able to do that. And so the first, the most important spiritual decision is that. And there are other spiritual decisions that have great impact in our life. Choosing to obey God, choosing to submit to the Spirit of God in our life, choosing to place His will above all other things in our life, choosing to pray and read our Bible and be a witness are important spiritual decisions. And in our text this evening, we're introduced to a man named Naboth, and he's faced with a situation in these verses, and his life has some important lessons as he makes this one vital choice in his life. One commentator said this about the man in our previous chapter in 1 Kings 20, Ben-Hadad. One commentator said, Ben-Hadad was the man Ahab should have killed, but he set him free. And he said, Naboth was the man Ahab should have protected, but he didn't. Isaiah reminds us that when you sell yourself to do evil, and you call evil good and good evil, light, and then you begin to call light darkness and darkness light, and that's where Ahab and Jezebel were. And this episode in our text, in this passage of Scripture, I believe one of the things that it really wants us to do, if we haven't gotten the point right up to this point with the nature of the children of Israel, the idolatry of, that was permeating, that was all over the nation of Israel, I believe this chapter, this passage, is wanting to give us a real glimpse at the character of Ahab and his wife Jezebel and what they thought of their authority and what they thought of the people that they ruled. And I want to look at a few things tonight. The first thing is Naboth's possession. He had a vineyard. This vineyard was more than just a plot of ground. It was his inheritance. It had been passed down to him by his fathers. It had probably been in his family, most likely since they were given possession of the promised land. And it had no doubt been in his family for generations. It was more than an inheritance. It was his heritage. It was what God had given to the children of Israel. And we find that it was also prime real estate. Ahab wanted it. Somewhere along the line, the king of Israel had built a palace right next door, a summer home, some commentators have said. So this was a elite neighborhood in the community. Nobody in Samaria had a better possession, according to Ahab, than Naboth. I hope you understand today, as believers, we've been given a wonderful inheritance by those who've gone before us. It's no accident that we're here today. Our church is what we would call prime real estate, and not necessarily because of the physical property, but because what makes up the church. That's you and that's me. And what a wonderful inheritance we've been given from generations that have gone before. And when we stop and think about what we have with the Word of God and the ability to hold it in our hands and study it and open it in front of our families and children and read it together, and the fellowship that we enjoy, the opportunities we have to worship our Heavenly Father, the example that Jesus gives us on these very pages of His Word about holy living, and on we can go, we would understand that we have been given a wonderful heritage, a wonderful heritage. We've been given a precious possession. We have a great heritage. And Naboth understood his inheritance. But Naboth also understood that he was a steward. He worked his vineyard. He provided for a living for himself and his family. And he must have done a good job. It was an appealing piece of property. The king's attention was grabbed by it. And he admired it. And it was evident that Naboth spent time taking care of what he'd been given, and we need to take advantage of what we've been given. Don't take opportunities like this. I hope being in quarantine and stay at home and things like that has caused us not to falter, not to wander, not to get discouraged, but has caused us to realize that we cannot take times like these for granted. Oh my goodness, if there's one thing I hope that I've realized and I've learned, is not to take opportunities to stand before you as a church family and preach the Word of God. Oh, Lord, help me not to take you for granted. Help me not to take opportunities to preach the word of God for granted. What a wonderful privilege we've been given to be together, to fellowship. Oh, how I miss fellowship. I've been reading this week, and it talked about the fact that this is all good to be able to share the word of God and to open the word of God together. But it talked about specifically how that the church was built for fellowship. And one of the phrases, this is a paraphrase, was we need to see each other's faces. That's part of our fellowship, and how I miss that. And I hope we, at this point, we learn and we reminded not to take for granted things like this. We ought to be thankful for the Word of God. We ought to be thankful, obviously, for our salvation, for our families, for opportunities to be together. And maybe we take times like this to reevaluate, to learn to worship God, to praise Him for all He's given, to talk of all His wondrous works. Because like Naboth, we have an obligation to take care of our heritage, to make the best of it that we can for the glory of God. Naboth also knew his responsibility. He worked the land. He knew that he was merely a caretaker. The land was his. It was his to work, but it was also his to protect. And he had the responsibility of making sure the land would be handed down to his children and his children's children. That reminded me, as I thought about him protecting his inheritance, what an important opportunity and responsibility and command, parents that we have, grandparents that we have, aunts and uncles, family members, to protect our children, to protect those that have been stewarded to us for the glory of God, to protect what God has handed down to us, and to not just protect them, but to pass along our faith, our love, our fellowship to our children. Naboth understood the importance of his responsibility to his inheritance, to his heritage, to his possession. And he knew he was just one man, but he was a link in the chain of God's plan, of God's will, and God's blessing. And if he failed, the next generation would suffer for it. Naboth had been charged with protecting what he had been given. But I hope we also understand Naboth had an inheritance. He had a possession. But Naboth also had a very real enemy. I hope we understand tonight that we have a very real enemy. We see also not just Naboth's inheritance, his heritage, but Ahab's proposition. Naboth had a real enemy. You know, I doubt Naboth thought that the king was his enemy. I doubt Naboth thought that the king was really his enemy. It's usually very surprising when we find out who our enemies are. And Naboth, I'm sure, was shocked that Ahab had been harboring this. And I hope, Lord help us, that there are not those in the church who would be shocked to find out that you're harboring something against them, that you've allowed some root of bitterness to grow and fester and begin taking root in your life. We have to understand, church members, Christians, believers today, that you're not my enemy and I'm not your enemy. And there's not someone sitting on the other side of the room or of the auditorium when we're together. They're not the enemy. We have a real enemy. We have a real enemy, but it's not flesh and blood, the Bible tells us. Naboth had a real enemy. I get the picture that one day Naboth was out working in his vineyard and a visitor arrives. And it's not just any visitor, it's the king. And he wants to buy Naboth's vineyard. And looking at the offer that Ahab made, we learn that sometimes opportunities aren't always what they seem. It was a royal appeal. This offer came from the king himself. Who could refuse an offer like that? The king held a lot of power, a lot of influence. People typically did what the king said, what the king asked them to do. There was a reasonable request. Ahab wanted the vineyard because it was close to his house. He wanted to plant a garden there. It was close. He could work it himself. It would bring the king pleasure and enjoyment. It was a reasonable thing to ask. It was a realistic offer. I don't know if you remember if it's even on anymore, but there was a game show. I remember it from years ago called Deal or No Deal. Do you remember that? On the show, the contestants would be offered a good offer, and they would often turn down a good offer and leave with less money than they could have had. Other times they'd make a good deal and leave with far more than they ever expected. Either way, though, there was some chance and some luck involved. And should they, the premise of the game was, should they take what they have and go on their way, or should they hold out for just a little bit more and see what comes up, and should they say deal or no deal? But win or lose, at the end of the day, deal or no deal was just a game show. And Ahab here was facing a decision that would have life-altering effects. In our lives, we face choices often with long-term effects. And this offer would have given Naboth the opportunity to better himself. He would have been given a better piece of land, or he could have named his price, and the king would have given him cash money for that property. Most of us would have most likely jumped at an offer like this. It would have pleased the king. It would have brought profit. It just made sense. And all this would probably make perfect sense in our 2020 thinking. But Naboth saw beneath the surface and saw what was really going on there. And so not only, despite the fact that it was a realistic offer, he refused. He refused. You see, Ahab wanted to buy the land and plow under all of Naboth's hard work. He wanted to destroy everything Naboth's fathers had worked so hard to give him. Ahab wanted to erase Naboth's heritage. That's what the enemy does. That's what our enemy is working to do right now, is to erase the heritage of the Word of God, of the things of God, of our fellowship. And listen, he wants us to think that meeting like this is okay. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that this is what we can do for the time being. He wants us to make us think that this is enough. And that, okay, as long as I've sat and I've been apart. But he also wants you to say that, he also wants you to think that because you were here tonight, you don't need to read your Bible tomorrow. You don't need to worry about growing in grace and growing in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The enemy wants to destroy our heritage, what we've been given. Listen, we're going to receive a lot of offers in your life, and a popular one for young people, but it's also for older folks. It comes in different packages. It comes looking different ways. But the old temptation, the old adage is everybody's doing it. Well, I want to help you out this evening. I want to help you out by saying this, that everything that looks like an opportunity, a good opportunity, may not be. Everything that looks like a good opportunity might not be. All that glitters, the old saying goes, isn't gold. Let's look at a few important principles about this idea of everybody's doing it, or of taking an offer just because it might look good. Let's look at some principles about that. First is, don't sell out. Don't sell out regardless of who does the asking. You see, Ahab has sold out a long time ago. Ahab had sold out to sin and to wickedness a long time ago. Don't sell out regardless of who does the asking. We could relate it to young people and young men and young women. Young men, don't, when that young lady comes along, don't sell out just because she's pretty or whatever. Young men, young ladies, don't sell out just because you think he likes you, or to make them like you. But listen to this. Adults, mom and dad, don't sell out. Don't sell out your family for fleeting pleasure. Don't sell out your future for a few more bucks. That's the truth. Don't sell out regardless of who does the asking. The second principle is, don't sell out just to please the crowd. Don't sell out just to please the crowd. Remember I said it's okay, everybody's doing it. Let me add to that. Maybe this is a little bit of the youth pastor coming out in me. Don't sell out just to please the crowd if everybody's doing it. Remember, if they say everybody's doing it, remember, until you do it, not everybody's doing it. And so it's a lie right off the bat. Not everyone is doing it. If you're not everybody's doing it. Sometimes it's better to stand alone than to stand with the crowd. Sometimes it's better to stand alone than stand with the crowd. I'll remind you, it was the crowd that crucified Jesus that day. It certainly was. It was the crowd that that called for his blood and called for his death, there were just a few that stayed close to him. There were just a few at the foot of the cross. Matthew reminds us that the majority, the crowd, we could say, is headed to hell. Yeah. Don't go along with the crowd. Don't sell out just to please the crowd. Now, the third principle we learn from this idea of selling out is, no matter how reasonable the opportunity looks on the surface, consider the consequences. Consider the consequences. Oh my goodness, it's such a danger for young people. It's such a danger for adults. Listen, it's just as much a danger for adults who make poor decisions in the moment. In the moment. Every decision that you make, young or old, let me talk to our teenagers here for a second. Let me talk to our preteens. Let me talk to our adults. Every decision that you make has consequences. Write this down, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. The Bible says, be not deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't let other people tell you. Don't let the world, your friends or so-called friends, tell you. It'll be all right. Nobody will get hurt. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Some decisions that you make are long-term or short-term consequences. Some are lifelong, and some have eternal consequences. What if we asked Eve today if she might make a different choice? What if we went back and asked David perhaps today if he'd have made a different choice in his sin with Bathsheba? Perhaps if we went back and asked Peter about the decisions he made that fateful night before Jesus died on the cross, if he'd have made a different decision. But you know what? Every single one of those decisions was made in the moment without considering consequences. Every decision has consequences. Consider the consequences. Then the fourth principle about these decisions is, never forget the world, the flesh, and the devil are all trying to destroy your heritage. The world, the flesh, and the devil are all trying to destroy your heritage. And they will lie to you to do it. If they have their way, they'll take everything you've been given and leave you nothing. Leave you nothing. Then we're reminded tonight of Naboth's character. Let me help you here just a little bit. Naboth hears Ahab's offer and refuses. His refusal reveals to us about his character. The first thing we see about his character is that he was faithful to the word of God. He said, "The Lord forbid it of me." You see, Naboth's actions were not prompted by monetary or money considerations, but by biblical principles. He told Ahab he couldn't sell the vineyard because God had forbidden it. In fact, the word of God clearly stated that the king was forbidden from buying the inheritance of the people. But it's a sad truth. Many today would throw aside just about anything for a few more bucks. Throw aside anything for a little bit more prestige, but not Naboth. Naboth could have offered the world, yet he knew what God said. God had said no. And so no matter how pleasing the offer was, Naboth's answer would be no. And that was his final answer. Naboth said, no sale. Let me remind us tonight, a good reminder to me, my first allegiance is to God. Find out what God says about a matter. Walk in His will. You'll never go wrong. Can I remind you, you'll never go wrong. You'll never regret letting God's word be your guide in life. Never. N-E-V-E-R. Never. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalms 19, verse 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Naboth was faithful to the word of God. But not only that, not only was he faithful to the word of God, but he cared about the future of his family. He cared about the future of his family. Some people are selling out. Some people are selling out their families and their faith and their future. Whether it's for a momentary pleasure, whether it's for an addiction, whether it's for a position, whether it's for a promotion, whatever it might be, there are those that are selling out. There are those that are selling out. We need to be thankful for the heritage that we've been given. Be thankful for those who faithfully have prepared an inheritance, a heritage, so that we might have a future. Today, perhaps we may need to take a moment today and just get alone with the Lord and commit ourselves to live before Him in obedience and holiness for His glory, to commit ourselves to taking up the task of laboring in His harvest. The Bible says there's a harvest and laborers are needed. It's easy to sit back and take and enjoy our inheritance, our heritage, but there comes a time when we need to be part of the work. We need to get to work. Ahab was a wicked man, and Naboth refused to sell him his farm. And Ahab and his wife are revealed to us tonight as being uncaring, rebellious, idolatrous. Jezebel had brought Baal worship into Israel, and Ahab just allowed it to spread. And when you turn from the truth, it's evident that you're believing lies. And then you start loving those lies, and before long you're controlled by those lies and you're living in them. Ahab and Jezebel were noted here tonight for their covetousness. They couldn't have enough. Enough was not enough. I read that covetous people acquire one thing after another, but in all they're acquiring, there's never any real satisfaction. And when Ahab didn't get what he wanted, man, he shows himself to be a man. He goes home, lays on his bed, and pouts, and then he has to get his wife to fight his battles for us. So Jezebel was a determined woman. She never let a little thing like the truth stand in the way, and so she fabricates a lie. She sets up Naboth, and she's come from a heathen worldview, and so she lived by the philosophy of getting what you want and using your authority to take care of yourself. Jezebel even threw in some religious phrases, but it was a lie. I wish I could say that Naboth's story had a happy ending, because he refused to sell, he paid a high price. He was arrested and he was executed. If two people were ever worthy, guilty of blaspheming God and breaking His law, it was Ahab and Jezebel, and judgment was about to fall in their life. And so tonight, as we get down to this last end and we understand the end of Naboth and how he was lied about, and then he was executed unjustly, unfairly, because he was willing to stand for what was right. He refused to sell out. I would ask tonight, how much is your mind worth? What's your price? Some have sold out for nearly nothing. They filled their mind with the language and the images of the world. How much is your mind worth tonight? I'd remind you, don't sell out to this world. How much is your testimony worth? What's the price? Some have sold their testimony just to keep a friend. Some have sold it just to impress others. They've sold it to fit in, maybe for a promotion, or as it seems to be the common theme in this message tonight, they've sold out their testimony for a few bucks. Don't sell out for a few minutes of pleasure or enjoyment. Don't sell the farm. How much are your children worth to you? How much is your marriage worth to you tonight? Don't sell out. The adversary offering you the world is offering a lie. Is offering a lie. As we think of this, I'm reminded of those principles we looked at. Don't sell out, regardless of who does the asking. Don't sell out just to please the crowd. No matter how reasonable the opportunity, don't weigh the consequences. Consider the consequences. Be reminded that the world and the flesh and the devil, they don't want to do anything but to destroy your heritage. And so let's have just a short invitation, I guess. We don't have to have an altar. It's good to come to an altar. It's good to be in an altar. But you can talk to the Lord yourself. I want to be very candid with you tonight, and I want to ask you this, and just answer in your heart of hearts. Have you taken the deal? Have you taken the enemy's deal tonight? Have you sold out and found out that it's not worth it? What you need to do is you need to bring that to the Lord, lay it out before Him. Confess it. Confess it. If you've walked away from Him, He wants to forgive you. He wants you to be restored to Him. There might be some consequences that are involved. There might be some chastisement, some punishment coming, but it's better to be close to God than it is to be far off from Him. Have you taken the deal and lost tonight? Are you considering taking the deal that this world and the flesh and the devil is offering? Are you considering taking the deal? Let me encourage you tonight, before your head hits your pillow tonight, to get before the Lord and ask for help, for you to say, ask Him to help you to say, no sale. My family, my testimony, my mind, my body, my relationship with the Lord is not for sale. I'd encourage you to do it before this is over. If you allow yourself to stop and think about it, you most likely won't get before the Lord. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, you need to make some choices. You need to make some changes tonight. Have you taken a deal and lost? Are you considering taking a deal that's, you know, isn't right? You'd be sacrificing your time with your family, your marriage, your church, your fellowship. Have you considered taking the deal? Get before the Lord and ask Him to help you say, no deal. Maybe you have friends, maybe you have family that are selling out cheap. Pray for them. Pray for them today. I'd encourage you today, this evening, that you just maybe just reminded that the devil is out there and he's got deals that look amazing, but everything that the devil has to offer isn't what it seems. Isn't what it seems. Don't sell out tonight. Don't sell out. It's worth it to stand. It might cause you some rejection or ridicule from the world, but it's worth it to stand, to be a Christian, to stand for what's right. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together and the reminder from Naboth and his willingness to stand on the one thing You'd given him to hold dearly other than his family was his inheritance and his heritage. May we be reminded that it's not worth it to sell out to this world and to the things of this world and to the flesh and to the devil. They have nothing good in mind for us. Guard our hearts. If You've spoken to our hearts tonight, may we do real business with You, get alone with You here in the next few minutes, and take care of what You've spoken to our hearts about tonight. I thank You, and I love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's good to be together. I can't wait till we can see each other again and fellowship together. I hope this was an encouragement. I hope it was an encouragement. I love you, and I'm praying for you. Have a good evening.